Alright, let's do this one more time. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. You're listening to the number one podcast in education across the Spider-Verse, Steambox. Are those my Jordans?
Hey, this is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast. Today, I'm with my Highlander homies. Highlander homies, please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
Hey. Yo, this is, we experimented with this a little bit this summer, but this is round two of Steambox versus Club Ambition. I got Club Ambition. I've got Victor Baez. Some people recognized him today. Young people walked up to him and said, "You're that journalist." So a professional 26-year-old Dominican journalist, Victor Baez, is in the house. Victor, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invite. Excited to speak with the students here today.
Yo, I'm so happy to have you. I was so happy to work with you this summer. I'm skeptical of people. I generally don't like people. I've said this to you before. But man, I really brothered up with you right away.
Yeah.
You're dope. You deserve all of those credits, all of the likes, all of the following that you have. You deserve it for sure.
No, mutual respect, bro.
We definitely appreciate it. This is why Angel thought it was important that we have somebody of your caliber, of your journalistic integrity with us on May 4th. Angel, what's happening on May 4th? Why do we need Victor?
We're doing a mental wellness day for everybody. Anybody welcome to come.
So Victor Baez is going to be there. He's going to be with us. He's going to be doing a TikTok. I don't know if he's going to be doing like a live stream. I don't know what he's going to be. What do you think he should be doing there?
I think a live stream.
A live stream?
Yeah.
What kind of things do you think he should get from the students?
Their feedback on their schools.
Feedback on their schools? What were you going to say?
I was thinking he was going to be like a Keith Lee of Rhode Island.
Now, the Keith Lee I know is a dope wrestler. He's right. This big black dude who knocks people all over the ring. That doesn't sound like what you're talking
Not
about.
At all. I mean, he had a recent career change, to say the least.
He started focusing more on like boosting businesses because he saw he sees his fault.
Keith Lee?
Yeah.
Different Keith Lee. This is literally what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. He used to be an MMA fighter. Yeah. But now he does food. He's the biggest food reviewer in the world right now because he does TikTok reviewing food for restaurants. He started in Vegas because he's from Vegas, but now he does them across the whole country, I think the world, free of charge. He just goes, eats the food, and reviews it. Sometimes likes it, sometimes doesn't, keeps it honest. All from his phone, low quality, no captions, and it's blown up like crazy.
Yo, do you get perks like that? Do you get perks like food?
I mean, this weekend I went to Shake Shack and it was like a young worker. He probably was like maybe around your guys' age or maybe a bit older. He probably was 18. And he was like, "Yo, I got you with my employee discount." And I was like, oh, good looks, bro. Shake Shack's expensive. So I was already stressing out about buying it. And he gave me like 70% off. I was like, oh,
girl. 70%.
I was like, that's crazy. Oh, that's insane.
Holy, I'm just kind of sick. Basically free.
I'll take it. I have so many questions for you. I want to ask, I think, my biggest question, and I don't want to ruffle your feathers because I love you, dude. My biggest question is, I was watching, I watched some of your videos, and I watched one that I was like, I don't really agree. This is like a hot take. I don't agree with it. I don't remember what it was.
A hot take.
When I was thinking about, I sent you guys information about him so you guys can look it up and stuff and have your own questions. So when I started like looking back through your stuff, I just see so many like dope posts after dope posts after dope posts. Not only couldn't I find the other one, and I bet you didn't even delete it. Not only couldn't I find it, but like if it's there, it's like a needle in a haystack. And I don't, maybe it was just me, but it did make me think, okay, sometimes I think about the influence that we have,
yeah.
Right? Do you feel like you have a responsibility to get it right? Do you ever think back on something like, yo, I didn't get it right?
I used to be very worried about like the image and like how I am and everything. But I feel like what's made me has just been just being authentic and like myself. And I'm always very like, if I make a mistake or if I offend someone, I call myself on it. Like on it, I'm very like apologetic, you know, I'm never egotistical to the point where people, there's a lot of stubborn people. I feel like, especially like in the media world that I'm in, and like they'll double down, triple down on something and they'll never care about anyone else's opinion or anything. But I've never been like that. So I'm always open to, you know, give people like provoking thoughts and also just take people's opinions back and feedback. It's all about sparking that conversation and just keeping people's like attention. But I never try to be too like controversial either on purpose. It's just if something's on my mind, like I'll bring it up, you know, and see what people are going to feel about it. And I tend to still, so I used to be, I feel like on YouTube, if you go to like my older YouTube videos, they were crazy, like way crazier than they are now. Because now I have a son, so like naturally, I'm just censoring myself a bit without trying to. It's just like a natural censor that's happening, like a sense of growth and just evolution. So I'm kind of maturing, I would say. But no, yeah, I feel like it's just a matter of just keeping it, you know, just keeping it real. Like there's a lot of people that say crazy stuff. And it's just like, if you're willing to just talk about it, be called out upon it, and then be like, hey, I get what you mean, man. Like, I should have said it that way.
All right, bro, you get Aaron Rodgers on your podcast. Aaron Rodgers on your podcast, and he says some wild shit. He says Jimmy Kimmel's on the Epstein list, right? Like, how do you handle this?
What is he? I would be like, listen, you know.
Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, is not on the Epstein list. Just he's right. Clear.
He's not. I would have been like, listen. You know, that's a reminder to listeners out there. You know, he's joking. You know, Aaron's obviously, are you joking, Aaron? Because obviously that's not accurate at all. And it's like, what's your real issue with Jimmy? Like, aside from you know, like he's a father like you. You know, he's successful like you. What's your real issue with him? Is like a personal level issue? You know, or is it just like that topic? You know, because sometimes people like you
he
know,
pivoted into an interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because sometimes people, I feel like they'll get offended by like. Or they just won't like someone because, like, yo, he wore that. I don't like that sweater he's wearing. That kid always wears that green sweater, and it's like, whoa, what's? Do you not like the sweater, or do you like not like him?
Yep.
Well, I just don't like the sweater. It's like, okay, so you don't know him. You just don't like his sweater.
Okay.
You have to know him, like he's probably a good ass person, you know. And that's like you gotta like dive deeper.
You know, I told you about like how my favorite video by you was the one at Sand Taylor Bank, how they stole the money.
What are you talking about for the world listening at home? What does that mean?
One of his Instagram reels were how in Providence, Rhode Island, there was a Santander Bank that was robbed, I think for $1.3 million, was it?
Yeah, something crazy like that, yeah.
Yeah, do you know if they ever got caught or anything?
Yeah, they got caught. It was, like, a worker in Santander Bank. Like, she, was, like, plotting, like, the time and stuff. I think that day she didn't work that day on purpose, and it came back at night with, like, her friends to, like, rob the bank. But they got caught. Nowadays, trust me, like it's not like the movies. If you try to rob a bank, you will be caught, you know.
It's an interesting point because this dude who started from when he was talking to us before, if I remember correctly, he started just live streaming playing a banger in his car. And then he's live streaming it. And starting from there, and now us talking about the responsibility of the words that we say, and now this dude is a journalist reporting on bank robberies. In Providence, did you see your life going that way?
No. But again, it was just me just being, you know, naturally me, you know?
What's your, go ahead.
I actually have, like, a question and an add-on.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing to, like, report on as a journalist?
Ooh, good question. My favorite thing, to be honest, has been, like, stories, like, that are actually from, you know, the people, like me, like you, like all the people that live in Rhode Island, like personal stories. Like last year, I went and visited this young kid. He had to be like 12 years old, and he was attacked by like a neighbor, like this older white neighbor that lived next door. And it's this young black kid, and he was outside playing. And then I guess he got into like an argument with the son of the neighbor, but the neighbor attacked the kid. And the kid was like bruised up and scarred and everything, had to go to the hospital. So I went and visited the family to interview the family on location and get the perspective of the kid. Because the police, it was in Johnston, they weren't really responsive or effective to the issue. So I was able to, like, get their perspective and be on site, on location. So, like, those real-life, like, stories, like, with people that I might see at a grocery store, you know, people that I can actually interact with, like, from my city, my state, are, like, the best stories. Like, I get stories like that all the time. Like, my DMs are crazy. People are always sending me, like, crazy stories, like, every single day.
Do you know if that neighbor got a... like in trouble for it at all, or if the kid was okay?
Yeah, the kid's okay, thankfully. He's recovered, and I've seen his mother like on Facebook, because I followed her on Facebook. I maintain communication, and the guy was able to be arrested, but I think he was released. So they're still trying to like get more punishment for him, because they felt like he was let go easy. But yeah, that was a scary situation. I remember that.
I'm hearing you actively use your platform to try to like get justice at times and was in that responsibility we were talking about. Yeah. Very quickly.
I was just curious. You mentioned speaking and like going out to speak to the people.
Yeah.
I feel like, do you think people can be hard to reach? And if they are, how do you break that barrier? Some people aren't willing to always talk.
No, yeah. You got to just be able to, like, you know, comfort them. You know, it's from all facets of levels. Like, I'll have someone that is like an artist and they're coming for an interview, but they'll still be nervous. Like, I've had local rappers, Rhode Island rappers, come in and they're nervous. Like, they see the cameras, the lights, and they get nervous. Like, they, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is really happening. Because one thing is to, like, see it and say that it's going to happen, but once they see the lights and cameras, you know, people get intimidated. It's fine. I'm used to it because I've done it for so long. But, you know, and the way to reach the people nowadays is just through social media. Like, I get DMs from people, you know, there might be an account that has like 40 followers, like a brand new account. But it's like this woman who's a mother. Like, I get mothers all the time now reaching out like, I saw what you talked about, the schools and the high schools in Providence and what's going on. I wanted to reach out, you know. And I think the principal of classical, my principal, she's a new principal now, but the principal of my old school reached out through Instagram on DMs. You know, she had like a low follower count, like 100 account page, but there's still ways to like communicate, you know, because I tend to not be necessarily out and about, but on social media, I'm always heavy. So, you know, that's the way that I always communicate with people and get in touch with through social media.
It's wild. For those of us who were here last week, when we had this woman who was on the Today Show and she was on all of these other shows with her steam box, did you guys notice that she was nervous to talk to you guys?
Yeah, very.
She was. You could tell by the way she was talking, and it's just us.
Yeah, you know? she was adding like too much pause and like just pausing a lot.
And yeah, the gulping and stuff like that. You could definitely tell she was nervous. You had something else to add.
Yeah, I had a question for you. How do you feel about the 360 school shutting down?
Now, you touched on that too.
Yeah.
Not only did you touch on that, and I love when you have people like Chachi on and people I love from the community.
Yeah.
But you also had a student on to like get their perspective.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. I really appreciate you giving students that platform.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of that right now?
Yeah, that's something that's very crazy because, you know, the idea of like a school, like I look at it from like you. I don't know if you guys know what empathy is, but empathy is like putting yourself in that person's shoes, right? So like I was obviously once a high schooler, like you all. I was in school, so. That, let's say, God forbid, is like you all in here right now today, but then tomorrow you get, oh, emergency meeting. You all get called into like the gym and you all have to stand around. And there's some dude from Pennsylvania on a projector saying, you know, Highlander needs to be closed down. And this is going to be the last year of Highlander, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How would you guys all feel?
I'll definitely be devastated. I've been in the school for as long as I know, 13 years.
Yeah. You know, so that stuff right there is something that I feel, you know, extremely empathetic towards. I felt like, wow, like these students needed to, you know, be properly warned ahead of more time. Like it's something like it's too shocking. Like one thing is to be like, okay, this is a business decision. But once there's like families and humans involved, that's where it's just terrible, especially children, you know. So, like, to shut down a school, I really hope that, you know, with all of this uproar and, like, feedback they've been getting, like, the meetings, they've had a lot of meetings about the 360 high school, and it's been getting packed. A lot of students, a lot of families are going to the meetings. I feel like more than ever.
What, they're calling the police on the family?
Why are being called? So I think that hopefully the administration might look at this and actually try to change it, something about it. But... it seems like, you know, business first, unfortunately.
My question is kind of like not as serious as what we've been talking about, but...
if you ask me anything.
How do you feel about Palestine?
Who would you say is the most famous person on your contacts right now?
Contacts? Oh, probably Trippy Red, the rapper Trippy Red.
Trippy Red?
That's sure.
No,
that's,
yeah, probably great. Trippy Red.
I feel like you should try to FaceTime him.
I'll try, but I tried last week.
I was about to shut it down, but you started going for it.
I tried last week during, or was it 2 weeks ago when I was at a youth center in Woonsocket. He didn't pick up. But last time he picked up, he was on the toilet in the bathroom.
That was wild.
That's good.
So I'll try again. I'll let him know. But
you want to slide the digits?
No, but that's the thing. You got to think about it, you know, because I'm someone, you know, I'm doing, Dion up. Yeah, so he's busy right now. So I'm someone that's doing my thing out here, and I'm busy. Sometimes, like, I'm too busy to pick up the phone for my mom. you know, so I don't take it personal, like, when they don't pick up.
Who's your, who's the biggest person on your in your context?
No, it's kind of complicated right now.
All right, so when you first started just like making videos and talking and stuff, do you remember your first video that blew up? How did you feel?
It probably was the Travis Scott Birds in the Trap Sing McKnight. I don't know if you guys heard that album. It's like an older Travis Scott album.
It's called.
That was that reaction. I did a reaction to that. And we were driving around everywhere in Providence. At that time, that's when I still do reactions. Like, I did them this weekend in the car. But at that time, I was driving around. So I used to drive around, like, the park and stuff until I started realizing, well, I don't got to drive around. I could just stay still. It's better for the camera. But we reacted to that album, and it blew up. Like, people loved it. Like, in 1 week, it got, like, 30,000 views on YouTube. And that was a lot because I had zero subscribers. So then that blew up the subscriber count. And I did, like, a two-part for that video. So it was, like, a part one, then a part two came out. So that was like the first like moment that people were loving it. They kept asking in the comments, they want more, you know, because there was a lot of reaction channels, but no one was doing them in a car at that time. We were the first ones to do like react to music in a car on YouTube, and, you know, it's taken off ever since.
Did you get scared or did you think about money?
No, we never thought about money like until probably 4 years ago when I started needing to find a location for the podcast, like in a podcast studio, because for so long we were, you know, money was coming in, but we never looked at it. So we never really cared about it because we were doing our own thing, like hustling our own way, reselling sneakers, you know, whatever, doing it, whatever we needed to do for money. But then when it got serious, like, you know, we're adults now, graduated, you got to do taxes, you know, get an LLC, like these big, you know, business thing that you got to do. That's when we got to realize, oh, we got to care about money, you know, and especially now me this year, since I have a son, you know, I'm caring about money on a different level than before, you know. Yeah, so it's very important.
You're at 370,000 subscribers right now, right?
Yeah.
And you're
hold up. He's at
377.
Yeah. He's over a third of a mil?
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's like,
wow. Okay. All right.
If one day.
And you're continuing to blow up. Me and my cousins have been trying to like start a clothing brand. What advice could you give to start networking and marketing?
I was counting on you for this. Thank you.
I would recommend always, you know, everything in life is best to do things like go back and study how things have started, like research the early stages of everything, right? Because everything always comes back full circle. So right now, you know, everyone has a phone. You guys all probably have a phone, right? In your pocket or in somewhere, right? Or they lock them up, right, in these pouches for you guys, right? Yeah. So you all have a phone. So you have the world in your phone. You have access to the world. But it doesn't mean just because you have the world that, you know, you start a clothing brand, let's say next week, you put on the shirt and you take a photo and you post it online and you're like, oh, buy my stuff. You know, doesn't mean like, oh, you got to get upset. No one's buying. It's not working. You know, you got to go back to the traditional way. So if I'm you, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily the best clothes in the world. As long as you are confident about it, you wear it to school or you wear it under your uniform, you talk to your classmates about it, you know, you walk around downtown with your parents' permission, you walk around downtown promoting your stuff, you walk around the mall, you know, maybe give out some free clothes. You go to like that old school marketing, but act as if the internet doesn't exist. And then you start like the word of mouth through the city. And your stuff is bound to blow up, you know, as long as, you know, you spread the word. It doesn't mean like, oh, everyone's going to wear it. But at least they know, yo, this kid has a clothing brand. That's the kid with a clothing brand. And that spreads the word, you know.
When your first piece of advice was research, I think about my most researched student, the most prepared for these podcasts. So you're already off to a good start. What's your question?
One shout out on, I like the video when he was listening to Nicki Minaj's new album with your friends, the Barbie Pink one, on top tier. But what would I say? What's your like most hands-on favorite topic to talk about, like that she's talked about?
Favorite topic. Okay. I would say I like talking about money a lot, like people's like the financial like backing of a lot of this stuff, like the information behind things. So like if I'm talking about like an artist, like I have one of my viral videos I think got like 5 million views on TikTok and like 2 million views on like on YouTube was when I spoke about Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift's tour money, the tour money that she would make on tour. And I started like adding up the numbers of the tickets and how much Taylor Swift is selling tickets and how much money she's making, you know, and that type of stuff. I love talking about it because one is informational, two is very inspirational too. Like it inspires me to go hard. I'm like, yeah, you know, never know, you know, and three, you know, it's just it works like to actually grab people's attention. Like it's very, people always care about like money. Oh my God, money. Every time I go to school, kids always ask me like, are you rich from YouTube? How much money are you making? Oh my God, how much money you make on TikTok?
You got a direct add on for this?
Yep. Yeah. So for like add on to, it's not Taylor Swift exactly, but
yeah,
I think it was Beyonce, her private concert that she had.
Oh, Rihanna.
Rihanna, yeah.
Rihanna had a private concert over the weekend. Yeah.
Do you know how much money she estimated from that?
Yeah, so Rihanna was paid by Rich Prince, or son of Rich.
Isn't it like son? $6 million?
$6 million to perform at a private wedding, yeah, over the weekend. Yeah.
Some people still got videos of it.
Yeah, I think it was like an hour or two long, you know, so think about that. That's insane. You know, she made that in one weekend, and that's the first time Rihanna's performed since the Super Bowl.
That's a quick bag.
You know, that's a quick bag she got. She probably didn't pay no taxes in Dubai, so that's probably $6 million cash. Who knows?
Are you going to do a reaction video to Beyonce's country music?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, shit.
I'm already buying the leather jacket and the cowboy hat.
Yo, for real. You got props and everything. Go ahead. Nice and loud, please.
As a Dominican journalist, what would be, like, one of your biggest challenges through this industry?
One of my biggest challenges in this industry, I would say, is definitely just being anyone of color. You know, I feel like I've done a lot, but I look at a lot of people who might just happen to be white doing what I've done. To be honest with you, they're bigger. A lot of them are bigger, you know, and a lot of times they'll blow up faster. And it's just weird to me. Like, I used to kind of be one of those people like, you know, well, we don't have to make everything about race. But then you realize, like, it is. Like, there's no way around it, you know, because, like, you know, for example, you know, and I do respect his hustle and like everything he's done, but you guys probably know him, like Aiden Ross. You guys know Aiden Ross? You know, Aiden Ross blew up, biggest, you know, huge streamer right now. He's working with Kick, makes a lot of money. But I feel like,
hold up, you said Aiden Ross?
So Aiden Ross, you know, I think he sucks at interviewing. I think he's horrible. I think he's really bad at interviewing. He's really bad, like his awkward, his cringe. You know, and he blew up though from making gay jokes, like making awkward gay jokes. You guys don't know this, like making like, you know, sus jokes. That's sus. A bunch of sus jokes. So I feel like that's horrible. Like the fact that, you know, it's got him to such a high level. And then now you guys see it, you know, you saw Playboi Carti, right? You guys saw the Playboi Carti situation, how Playboi Carti flaked on him.
6 minutes.
Yeah. And he again over the weekend confirmed again. Remember, Playboi Carti was going to be like, going to come back to the stream with Aiden Ross.
Yeah.
He promised, I'll come back. I'll make it up to you. Now Aiden Ross said over the weekend that Playboi Carti's not picking up his phone. He's not responding to his texts. So he's flaking on him again. So it's disgusting. But I feel it's because people don't really genuinely mess with Aiden Ross. You know, they don't like him. They feel like as if there's a sense of, like, not authentic, you know. And, like, he's not really a good journalist. So why would they go to him for an interview? The only reason they would go is for the money. That's why he offered, you know, Playboi Carti the $2 million.
Have you run into gatekeeping? Have you run into people being like, who the hell are you? Right? Like, have you run into that?
In person, not so much. It's been, like, comments, but it happens. Like, you know, like, I have a viral video right now that from 2 years ago that still gets traction about Lil Durk. And I was talking about Lil Durk. He's a famous rapper, and he likes to rap about, a lot of times, about his ops. You know, his ops and stuff. And I listen to Lil Durk. But then I was like, you know, calling him out because it was his 30th birthday and he was celebrating his 30th birthday. And he was like kind of congratulating and being happy because a op died or something of that nature. So I'm like, yo, like, this is like not like kids shouldn't look up to rappers because of this. Like, this is not, you can enjoy his music, but realize like there's no real integrity here. He's celebrating someone else's death while he's turning 30 years old. He's promised people, I'm not going to rap about my ops anymore. I'll be mature. But he never did.
Yo, is there nobody's death that you would celebrate?
Young boy? Weren't you
with... I can
make a list.
Thoughts, I think there was a similar situation to the Aiden Ross thing with this Bobby Althoff.
Bobby Althoff, yeah.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that whole predicament?
So when people say like she's sucks at interviews or like she's like what, the industry plant?
Yeah.
Industry plant? Yeah, so she's a great example because I do believe like her being white, you know, helped her success. you know. And she has acknowledged it, thankfully, at least recently. She did an interview with Keke Palmer that went viral. Keke Palmer kind of, you know, called her out respectfully. She was like, you know, I've done everything that you've done, you know, but it took me, you know, Keke Palmer was on Disney, or was it Nickelodeon? What was she on? The Keke Palmer, I think Disney years ago. Yeah, and she was like, you know, it took me a decade or decades to do what you've done in a year. You know, and Bobby was like, you know, it's the privilege and being lucky, you know. So I think that's a good example, Bobby Althoff. But it doesn't mean to knock them. You know, I still consume their content. They're still good. They're still amazing. You know, they still work hard, you know.
I'm still thinking about my list of people who I celebrate their death.
Going back to the Aiden Ross thing, there was this rapper called Youngboy who dropped a song back in like 2020 called like I Hate Youngboy.
Yeah.
Where he continued to diss Aiden Ross because like he doesn't know how to interview or doesn't know how to review songs. He's kind of like this, I forgot the name, but there was this one review of Kanye's new song, like new album, and he said it was like complete dog. Like dog, like not the good dog, but like the dog shit part.
Is this a question? Is this?
I mean, it's kind of just.
Angel, what's your question?
Was there a time where you ran out of ideas? And if you did, like, how did you get around that?
Yeah, I've had moments of, like, being not running out of ideas because I feel like there's always something to talk about. But I have two moments. I have moments like, oh, I forgot to cover this week, you know. But then I always realize, like, oh, well, there's always happening, something happening next week. There's always more news to cover. Or it'll be a moment where, like, I get burnt out. Like, bottom of last year, a couple months ago, I was like, oh, man. I feel like I was like a bit overworking myself and I get like tired and I kind of don't want to do anything. Some days just like chill, be with my son at home, do nothing. But, you know, I get reminded, you know, there's a responsibility when I build such a big platform, when I have a lot of, you know, people watching my stuff, you know, get it informed by my stuff. I get people all the time when I go out in public, they're like, oh, I get my news from you in the city. Like, oh, I get my news from you.
So like wild, but it's true.
Yeah, so I'm like, I got to keep updating the people since, you know, I'm their source of news. I got to keep it updated all the time.
I feel like you talk about more hands-on things that actually are happening. So, like, when I feel like if I was to actually go on the news, I'm not going to hear about, oh, the murder that happened that improv. Like, I'm not going to hear about that because they don't really speak about that or acknowledge the fact of that. So I feel like you are a good source of news when it comes to, like, learning about things in our city because I'd be like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
Does it help?
Yes.
Does it help trust him that he looks kind of like us?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, he does.
Instead of, like, Dan Jennings from Channel 10, that dude's, like, a 7-foot-tall. He looks like if Chewbacca shaved and was, like, a white dude underneath, right? Like, he's, like, a really tall, just kind of. And I don't get it. And I also don't feel like he represents our people, but representation is kind of important. Thank you for bringing that up. What did you want to follow up on?
Speaking about the whole murder with the guy, I feel like his name, but my wife's connected to his mom. And I want to know, like, what were your thoughts?
The recent one that happened?
It was the first murder of Rhode Island.
Okay, yes. The I think it was the young kid, something of that nature. I think the situation there was, I'm actually forgetting a bit because I know that the most recent one was the body that they found last week in the river. That was a woman, she was an older woman, and then I guess she was killed by these other women and they threw her body in the river. Unfortunately,
and she was like,
"Where is that gang violence?"
Okay, yes, the gang violence one. That one, I actually know. People to be honest with you guys, people tell me more stuff than I report. So, like, they'll give me more background information, even, like, after I report the news. Like, they'll be like, yo, you know, this happened, et cetera. I had my own theory where, like, I never spoke about it, but, like, when I posted that one specifically, there was, like, other students and, like, younger kids, like, in the comments, like, celebrating his death. Like, saying, like...
I heard a lot of that because people were like, oh...
Yeah, like, saying, like, yeah. So, it was, like young gang violence, you know, but it didn't come off that way. Like, when I reported it, because no one really knew, like, that's what it was. But unfortunately, I got kids in the comments, you know, celebrating his death and, like, reposting it. So I'm like, oh, these guys, you know, and then some of them were calling him a snitch, right? But then it's like, you guys are snitching on yourself because you're posting his death and then you're celebrating it and then saying, like, oh, we're up one type of energy as if there's, like, a score to keep, like, it's a sport.
It's wild. It's wild because I'm laughing at an inappropriate time, but I just looked over and saw you... your signature on this dude's Afro pic, which I think is hilarious. What's your question?
This ain't that serious, but like, what's one artist or like celebrity that we want?
So I really want to interview, been talking about her recently more. I'm going to try to get it done this year. Viola Davis. I want to interview Viola Davis. She's a famous actress. I think she's the best actress of all time, but she happens to be from Rhode Island, you know, famous black actress. And she's from Central Falls. So I feel like that's a major, you know, story that should be told more, especially with my platform. I think I can, you know, cover the full story of her trajectory and like Rhode Island ties. But in general, you know, I don't know. I've always like had dreams of interviewing like the biggest rappers in the world, but you know, to be honest, they probably would never do an interview with me because I feel like I'll ask like real questions. Like, you know, Drake, usually whenever he does an interview, Drake, they say that Drake basically produces the interview. So like he'll tell people the questions that are alive.
Hell no.
Or he'll edit the interview because you guys remember the Bobby
Altoff. I thought you loved Drake.
He deleted the Bobby Altoff interview from YouTube.
Are you starting to turn on Drake?
I'm always holding people accountable.
We were talking about that last summer. I was like, F this dude, but
yeah, I feel like if I were to interview him, he wouldn't answer my questions because you guys know, like, you know, XXXTentacion.
Yeah.
So XXXTentacion, when he passed away, people always said that Drake had something to do with that, right? And like Drake, every like album has like a line that's kind of like suspicious, like kind of making fun of someone's maybe murder. Like on the last album, he's shot him in daylight. I think it was in the for all the dogs. So I want to ask him about that and obviously clear up the rumor. Hopefully he has no ties to that man's death, but Drake will never, I'm telling you right now, he'll never get on camera with me to talk about that.
We'll get Viola Davis, come on Steambox Versus, and then we're going to hook you up with Club Ambition.
Yeah.
What's your question?
A piece of the news and all stories that has changed your point of view or also a lot of thinking of him?
Oh, all the time. You know, there's always stories. You know, over the weekend, and it's going to probably come out tomorrow, we interviewed a rap artist. He's a singer from New York. His name's Capella Gray, and he's had a major viral song, Gallus. It blew up in New York years ago. So he's a singer-songwriter. So he wrote for Chris Brown a lot, and he's friends with Chris Brown. So we asked him about artists going independent or signing to a record label, and he basically gave good reasons why people should sign to a record label because record labels have a lot of history of working with people internationally. You know, so like, for example, the same record label that had the Beatles back then, they knew how to work the Beatles. They'll be able to help you now. They have a lot of tools and assets. So I'm very independent. I love artists being independent, everything independent. But he gave me a good perspective as to why it is dope to still work with record labels and get signed still the traditional way.
I've seen your, you know, Instagram reels and all. Like, I know you're a positive guy, but I just got to ask this question. Who was your, which guest did you have on your podcast did you, most disliked?
I haven't had horrible experiences, to be honest. People kind of rub off my energy, like, eventually. Like, even the guy I interviewed this weekend, Capella Gray, like, he didn't really know me at all. It was, like, a connection type of link-up. But, you know, I was able to smooth him in and, like, talk, you know, and I knew a lot about him, so he was probably impressed from that, I could tell. So then eventually he started talking about crazy stuff. Like, it's probably going to go viral this week. Like, he spoke about working with Diddy and Diddy kicking it off of his album. So a lot of stuff that people didn't know. So that stuff. But I've had experiences with, like, a local rapper that came on one time, and they just wanted to...
Damn, Chachi, saying you whack.
No, not Chachi. They wanted to just, like, after the interview was done, like, edit out something from the interview because they were concerned about the way that they answered it, et cetera, and they seemed very worried. So I didn't love that because I'm like, yo, it came off fine to me. Like, you know, and at the same time, you should be able to deal with that. Like, it's
we got
real
that
deal. Yeah, it's real deal, authentic, like, journalism. The question was real honest, you know. It's about, like, a past accusation years ago, so I wanted him to clear the air about it, but his team wanted to edit it out, so I didn't like that. You know, I was like, oh, okay. So that was my first time dealing with that, so it happens. Yeah, I edited it out, because I didn't want them upset either, because, like, I'm not going to, like, make people mad either. It's like, okay, you know, but I would have loved to have them talk about that, yeah.
Yo, you are off the hot seat for now. We're going to see you again on May 4th. Yeah. Any students listening, continue to follow Steambox RI. We're going to have registration information. We are doing Joyful Rebellion, a mental health celebration in Providence on May 4th. Highlander Steampunks, please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.